You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Tell you, if the audio in my head isn't right, I can't do the program right. Yeah, it makes, just like a few seconds ago, it makes me stop. Don't ask me why. It just does. It's got to sound right in my head, or I can't talk. Yeah, you should hear it when there's an echo. Mac, crash and burn. Can't do it. Sorry, got to shut it down. Ain't happening. Anyway, good Wednesday morning to you. Interesting show today. Recorded an interview with General Butch Neal. If you recall Desert Storm, there was a Marine general that used to, an ops guy that did a lot of the briefings, and you'll get to meet him today doing our battlefield study today. So, and the battlefield study is about a fight that got on my radar called Gatlin's Corner. And India 3-9 goes out and essentially gets, they're looking. In 1967, on March 30th, they're looking for the NVA in the north central part of I Corps, up by the DMZ, a little bit southwest of Kantian, for those of you that know. If you don't know, get a map out, figure it out. It's worth your, and I tell you that because it's worth your time. Yeah. How about that? Yeah, it's worth your time. So anyway, they go out. I'll just give you an overview. They go out, and what they see is they see indications that there are plenty of enemy around. Now, in that neck of the woods, it was not the Viet Cong. It was the North Vietnamese Army. And so they got told that evening, hey, set in three platoon ambushes. They pushed back. And it's interesting, there's a story, and I'll post the link here on the read board, and I'll also post it in the battle study itself, but it's called The Flaming Eye at Gatlin's Corner. And The Flaming Eye is India Company 3-9. That's their nickname. And in that article that appeared in Leatherneck magazine in February 2009, the Marines relay that their CO, he was threatened. Hey, do it or I'll find somebody else who will. His name is Captain Mike Getlin. So he, anyway, what happens that night is a fight where the NVA attempt to mortar than overrun the platoon CP, the second platoon, which is actually the platoon minus. They'd given up one of their squads, and the company CP was there as well. So there's a fight there, and that's what General Neal is going to talk about today in our battle study. So, yeah, sit back. You'll find it interesting, I'm sure. I'll post a map ship. He didn't have a map. And it's kind of an interesting, as an aside, I asked him if he had a map, and he said no. So being the post-combat-related mental health expert I am, right, and nobody's dummy, I quickly conclude that there's a reason he doesn't have a map for that thing, because he doesn't want to have a map of that thing. So, just to be sure, though, as I found, believe it or not, again, I keep telling you that I'm not a dork, but there are indications that I am. All right, so in he talks about Hill 70, okay? So in the interview that you'll hear from General Neal, he talks about Hill 70. Okay, the way hills get named on maps, it's not because it's named Hill 70. There's normally an X at the top of the hill, and there's a contour line with a number near that, right? X marks the top of the hill. 70 is the elevation. Yeah. But what we do is we use those numbers to say I'm in grid 0965. We're on the south side of Hill 70. That's how we do it in the Marine Corps. And so that's what he... But I don't speak Hill 70, so I don't know. Like, I want to understand what happened, but I can't understand because I pull up Google Earth, right? I can find Contien. I can find Camp Carroll. Okay? This is actually a cool little story, so sit back, relax. Good morning to you, by the way. This is Mac. This is Mac doing a little bit of research, Marine Corps historical research. So I have on Google Earth, I told you I spent 3 hours plotting the DMZ on Saturday. Yeah. And, look, the DMZ was supposed to be 5 kilometers north and south of a river. I can't remember the name of the river, but it's there. So, you know, it's a whole series of little dots. Okay, I can't plot that. That's like a million dots. So I plot, you know, the highs and the lows and then link it all together. So that's what I got. Because I needed to know where the DMZ. Not that anybody respected the DMZ because I didn't. Okay, it was just a place to go through. And a thing on a map. All right. I guess if they hauled somebody in front of something, maybe they could say, oh, you violated the DMZ. And then what? It's kind of like China doing whatever it wants in South China Sea. Yeah, we got it. We're a member of the UN. We signed all these things. Freedom of navigation is one of them, but what are you going to do about it? So anyway, DMZ is on my map. Now, as I read General Neal's book over the weekend, he's talking about Hill 70, and they left Camp Carroll, blah, 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 blah. Now, Camp Carroll, easy to find. You can find that. So I know where Camp Carroll is. I know where Cam Lowe's combat base is. I know where Contien is. But Hill 70 escapes me. So I'm looking for maps. So I do a little bit of search, and lo and behold, Texas Tech has this repository of maps of Vietnam. 1 to 50,000 maps. So I find one site that has them, and it has like a map of Vietnam, and then it has little squares. And when you click on the little square, the 1 to 50 map pops up in a PDF. So I download the PDFs of I Corps, which is the northern part of South Vietnam, where the Marine Corps fought. And then I have to take that. I have to put it into a PowerPoint. Okay, I have to blow it up, and then I have to crop it. And then I have to save it as a JPEG.
Yeah.
Because if I don't blow it up, then, and I try to stretch a JPEG, and just save it as a JPEG, because I didn't blow it up, the JPEG doesn't have the detail that I want when I blow it up from the JPEG. Okay. Maybe too much detail. All right. So I'll stop there. So I now start putting my mosaic together to find Hill 70. Okay, but now as I look at maps, that's a lot of area that they're in that area. That's a lot of maps I got to look at, looking for a 70. Okay, so now what I figure is like, well, let me get the reports. So I start rooting around online. I don't find anything. So I call Charlie Niemeyer, who just recently retired as the head of the historical division. Breaking news, plane, according to the Associated Press, plane carrying U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and three Americans freed by North Korea has landed in Yokota Air Force Base in Japan. So we'll keep you posted on that. But I'm sure those Americans will well, the first thing I will tell you is I am sure, as this thing pointed to their release, that the North Koreans fed them, examined them, gave them medical attention. It would mirror what the North Vietnamese did with our Hanoi Hilton guys. Food got better, beating stopped, blah, 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 blah. So I would imagine they would be there as they get checked out medically. So anyway, we'll keep you posted on that. Huge story. And the charm offensive by the dictator Kim continues. He was airborne a little bit ago, and now they've landed in Japan. And so we will see what we will see. And we're all extremely interested, right? All right, we're all mindful of being cautiously pessimistic. But if you were to tell me the steps that this guy has to follow, he's certainly done some of them. So we shall see what we shall see. So anyway, I emailed Charlie Niemeyer, back to the story. I emailed Charlie Niemeyer, hey, Charlie, where do I find these after-action reports, command chronologies for Vietnam, for 3rd Battalion, 9th Marines in 1967, specifically March of 1967? He said, hey, contact Annette, blah, 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 blah. And he forwards his response to Annette. So a few hours later, I get an email from Annette. Here's the attachment. Mac, I think this is what you're looking for. Here's the link to it. Boom. Bigger than shit. Here's the after-action report for 3rd Battalion, 9th Marines, 1967, March. So in that document, there's a series of things. One is who, you know, the battalion staff. Who is it? So it's their command chronology, right? We've all done them, normally done by the aviators. So the index of the document is one, organizational data. Who was who in the zoo? Who was the CO? Who was the XO? Part two is a narrative summary. Part three, sequential listing of significant events. And part four is supporting documents, all right, for the month. So you go through that. And colonel named S.A. Brunmeyer. And then he left on the 4th of March. The XO, Major S.G. Falk, was the CO from 5 to 8, and Lieutenant Colonel J.S. Wilson from 9 to 31 March 1967. Then it gives the company commanders, 1 to 30 March, is Captain Michael P. Getlin for India Company. And then it gives Kilo Company and Lima Company, Mike Company. At that time, I think we all know that Marine Corps companies were four Marine Corps battalions were four companies deep. Third Battalion would have India, Kilo, Lima, and Mike. We no longer have the fourth company. So anyway, goes through attachments, then it goes through the staff. So you find out who everybody is, and then they a narrative summary, all of two paragraphs, which I found kind of interesting. Yeah, all of two paragraphs. So then you have a sequential listing of events. Casualties inflicted on the enemy. KIA confirmed 65. KIA probable 36. NVA VC detainee 71. Casualties sustained 23 Marines KIA, 88 wounded. New techniques employed, none. Talks about logistics, transportation, civil affairs, other activities. All right. And then it has a log. It has an operations log, and then it has an intelligence log. And so you go to those days, and lo and behold, you see the commentaries for these days in their ops log. Typed entries. Yeah, pretty amazing. Initially labeled confidential. And it allows you to plot the movements of India Company on, you know, the day prior to, the day of, and you see what they did. So I found that, so I can do the map, right? I can do the map. So I found the map, and I say that to say this. So I sent General Neil an email yesterday. I said, you know, he said he didn't have a map, and I didn't ask him any further questions. So I did now. I said, hey, sir, I have a map chip. Would you mind looking at it, or would you rather not do that? And then he emailed back and he said, I'd rather not do that. Now, And I say that because he grew up in a world where of this story that you're going to hear, right? Medal of Honor, four Navy crosses in a fight that lasted, you know, a couple hours. Pretty amazing. I don't know that I've ever heard of another fight, a single fight. Yielding that kind of tonnage in terms of awards. I don't know. I don't know if it happened. I don't know about it. Now you can say, well, hey Mac, this company during the Iwo Jima campaign, you know, yeah, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in an action in the campaign. Have you ever seen anything like that? My answer to that is no. I've never seen anything like it. So how do Marines deal with it? I mean, this program is dedicated to post-combat mental health. And let me tell you the Vietnam way. Wall it off and don't go near it. Stuff it in the box. Don't go near the hand crank. And that's how you know, General Neil dealt with it. And how he continues to deal with it. So I say that, you know, because that is certainly a technique. And for people that have found peace with that, you know, nobody should ridicule that. And so, just interesting. So I just my little journey through, you know, not only Marine Corps history, but mental health as well. And it always seems to hop up and hit me in the face every time, you know, we do things like that. Email. So tell me about the 1 to 50,000 maps, Mac. So, yeah, so what I've been doing, and I did this in Afghanistan because the graphics that we had in Afghanistan didn't suit my purposes. I wasn't able to annotate stuff on them. So I did something similar. I took the map sheets for RAO. I made them into JPEGs. Then I blew them up in a PowerPoint. And so I could keep historical data on my map, and I did. And so, you know, for instance, you know, we have programs that you may or may not be able to keep historical data on your map. First of all, there's a lot of stuff. You don't want a lot of clutter. However, me, I would keep significant stuff on my map, my own little map. Man, it was, and it's a huge file because of you have these huge map sheets in there, and then you blow them up so you can see the detail on them. So I would put little markers on it. Hey, this happened on this date at this time. This happened, and so something would happen months after we got there. Remember, you're there for a year. Like, you're gonna remember what happened 9 months ago. Hey, 9 months ago they used that exact junction for this event. You remember? All right. So make sure they know that. And the people would look around like, how the hell did he know that? I was smart enough to mark it on a map and keep it. And so so I've done the same thing with this. So the 1 to 50,000 maps, and they're really cool, because Google Earth will tell you some stuff, but most of the reporting is done in grid coordinates that Google doesn't do unless you buy an overlay. And if you want a link to that, I can tell you where you can go. You can pay $5, and you can do the you can download a grid, yeah, just like we would know, a military grid system overlay for Google Earth. But you got to pay $5 a month. So you use it when you need it, right? And then if you don't need it, you don't pay it. And then when you need it again, you pay the $5 again and you do it. And so that allows you to look at the terrain as it is today, and then the maps allow you to look at it. Obviously, the way the map, they're the same maps that they used in Vietnam. Yeah, how crazy is that? And so I've got about, this is another email, stop protesting that you're a dork, because holy smokes, you are so pegging a dork meter right now, it's a joke. Okay, you might have a point there. I won't resist it anymore. Right? And I'm especially a map dork. So, yeah, so I have just about all of I-Corps and 1 to 50,000 maps. I still got a little ways to go because you gotta match up all the lines, and it's like putting together a puzzle, and you gotta crop it just right and blah 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 blah. So anyway, so yeah, it stretches from south of Da Nang, in the Anhui area. Yeah, I'm speaking Vietnamese now. You go up the coastal plain, Da Nang, you go to Phu Bai, you go to Hue, you keep going, Dong Ha, and then you get up into what's known as Leatherneck Square. Yeah. Yeah, straight up speaking Vietnamese right now. Anyway, so once I get it done, and I'm not done yet, once I get it done, I'll throw some labels on it, some reference marks. For instance, just the major cities that Marines fought in, the major bases, and, you know, just different geographic features that you hear constantly in Vietnam. I'll put it up on the website, and if you want to download it, you certainly are welcome to it. But, yeah, very interesting when you do battlefield studies, you know, to go through and look at the history as we've recorded it, to be able to look at the grids and to hear what they went through, and so you'll get a chance to hear that here. In about 34 minutes, General Butch Neal joins us, and then he's going to come back next week, and we're going to talk about his book. His book is entitled What Now, Lieutenant? And he learned a whole bunch during this event on 30-31 March. So that's what we're doing today. So you'll enjoy it. And he's, you know, the one thing that always, I don't know, touches my heart about these things is that, the people that want to that want to make sure that these stories get out. They don't want these stories to be lost, and so by putting it on audio and me creating an MP3 and putting it on the internet, it's out there. If you want to learn from what happened to them, you can do that. And to me, that's always the motivation behind this. And it's pretty moving because they've never been able to get over the courage and selflessness that they've seen in where they fought. And it is one of the hallmark of warriors throughout time. It is certainly the signature of the United States Marine Corps. So very cool to listen and be a part and allowed to be brought into what are often, you know, very intimate stories of life and death. Mac, I prefer geek for you. Geeks are more savvy than dorks. Be well. Yeah, let me tell you. I'm a cool dork, but I, like I said, 3 hours on Saturday plotting the DMZ. Yeah, that's not normal behavior. And again, maps. I could do the same thing with maps. If the Yankee game wasn't on last night, I would have been in here in Vietnam the whole time. Yeah, in Vietnam, Laos, the whole nine yards. Yep. All right. We'll get this thing going. Huge stuff in the news. I woke up. I don't know what time I woke up. 3-something, 2-something. Maybe Patrick woke me up when he left this morning. But so I woke up, and I have this thing on my phone. I've got a Samsung Galaxy 8 Note. Yeah. And so one of the cool features about the Note is you can write notes on it.
Yeah.
That's why they call it the Note. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to make things too complex for you. So I figured I'd help you out so you don't have to get out your secret decoder ring so early in the morning. Yeah, so it's called the Galaxy Note. Now, so I wake up at 3 and I start thinking about the Iran deal. Okay. And so I have these thoughts going through my head as I wrestle with what we know about the deal in the public realm, blah, 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 blah. So then what I do is I thought, man, I need to write these notes down because I won't remember them after I wake up and shower and get ready for the show. So, and I tend not to. So what happens is I get my little thing out. All right, so here, let me just give you some thoughts about the Iran deal. All right. We somehow, for some reason, negotiated a deal that doesn't prevent Iran from getting nuclear weapons, but it slows them down, okay? And we think that's a good thing. We separated the nuclear agreement and that R&D and development would be included in, would be the D in R&D, so my apologies for being redundant. Anyway, so we separated the nuclear R&D and development, RDD and D, from their behavior in the Middle East. Okay? They are the single greatest destabilizer in the Middle East. But, Mac, what about Russia? Russia is a pimple on Iran's ass, okay? Yeah. Saudi Arabia continues to shoot down missiles that are being fired from Yemen into Saudi Arabia. Where do those missiles come from? They come from Iran. Hezbollah in southern Lebanon now has built Iwo Jima down there. And they have thousands of rockets down there aimed at Israel. Who did that? Iran did that. And now they're using the Syrian civil war and the fact that Bashar Assad needs help, and they've gone in there, we'll help you in exchange for, you know, for allowing us to do our thing. And what Iran has got really good at is proxy war, because they got into a shooting war with the Iraqis and they fought to a stalemate, and that risked the regime. Yeah. Iranians dying? No bueno. That was Spanish, not Farsi, by the way. No bueno. So what they've learned to do is to get other people to do their fighting, sending advisors and things like that. And so that's what they do in Syria. Now, the Israelis keep a pretty close eye on them. And the Israelis whacked them yesterday. There was reports that there was irregular activity from Syrian bases. So the Israelis watching it. Now, that's what the Israelis said. What does that mean? Somebody went to a smoking pit and lit a cigarette, and so the Israelis, you know, the Israelis let it rip on them? God only knows, right? But this is what's in open source in the media. And so last night the Israelis got after them. So again, we'll see what happens. So again, I'm looking at the agreement. But all of that behavior in Iraq, in Syria, in Lebanon, in Yemen, right? All destabilizing. To what end? The reestablishment of the Persian Empire? And what they're, you know, and what they're doing with Turkey as well, a current and possibly former NATO ally. Okay, so we separate that so we can negotiate this agreement. What's behind the agreement? Okay? Because the President of the United States, Barack Obama, signs it, but he doesn't submit it for ratification, so it becomes law to Congress, right? Once it's ratified, right, it takes congressional approval to go back on it. So he does it by, like he did so many things, which is he does it by executive order. So it doesn't stop them from getting a nuclear weapon. It slows them down. And then again, we're going to hear, because we hear it with China, you know, as we integrate them with our economies and there won't be the need, there'll be bullshit. That is top cover for dictators. They're going to think if you have economic ties that you're not going to pursue this agenda. And what it really is, with the increased revenues that you get from these economic ties, it will put your program on steroids. That's a good thing. Okay, so we separate that behavior. We don't send it to Congress to be ratified because what? We know it probably won't be ratified. So it has the force of an executive order. We can't inspect their militaries, cannot inspect their military sites. So is it me? Like, so what's the benefit of it? And so, I mean, so I woke up thinking about that this morning. So what is the benefit? Oh, so you have John Kerry, you know, if he's involved in it, you know it's stupid. You know it's pseudo-intellectual bullshit, and that we're probably going to get rolled in the whole thing because we're going to play little engine that could.
If we just work together with the Iranians and we don't piss them off too much and we apologize for being Americans, Christopher Columbus, what an asshole, then we could all have global peace and just work together. We'll hold hands and sing the Coke song. God damn it.
So is that what we're talking about? How about peace through strength? How about trust but verify? And when you can't inspect their military sites, where we know they have and develop nuclear weapons, then what kind of bullshit is that? That's another con job. It's ridiculous. But, right, that would be us. So what happens by us pulling out? We begin to put Iran on notice and in a box. we begin to starve them for the resources that they need to continue this regional war that they sponsor. Is that? Okay, and so now they're threatening, though. Okay. And then the other thing I think is you put continued pressure on the regime, hoping at some point that the Iranian people rise up and there is, that's my John Kerry voice. That's my hummingbird people voice, right? It comes from observing yoga students, right? And they see the world, you know, they see,
breathe to the core, out your nose, now bend at the waist, stay centered. The world's a beautiful place. Yes, we love each other.
Yeah, it's the hummingbird people. They're not in our tribe, right? But that's where that voice comes from.
We can do it. We just have to hold hands and everybody work hard.
Yeah, that's it. That's that voice. It's the voice of naive optimism.
There are no bad people, just bad parents.
Aren't parents people?
No, they're not. Stop it.
Yeah. So that's that voice. It does sound like it actually is Pinocchio. Okay. If you listen to the, it's actually Mickey Mouse, honestly. It is.
Hello, Minnie. Let's go find Pluto.
One of my favorites was, what's the Mickey Mouse? There was a Mickey Mouse thing, and the house kind of rotates out of the earth. I used to kind of like that. I used to watch it when my kids were little. Mickey Mouse Funhouse. Yeah. I could even almost sing a song. But anyway, Mickey comes out.
Hello, boys and girls.
So it's that. It's that kind of naive human, like, element that all of a sudden,
let's do a deal with Iran.
Let's not and say we did.
No, they're wonderful people. I saw them on that chef guy show that goes around the world. They really like Americans.
Yeah, they do. Okay, but their government wants to kill everybody. Okay, the most deadly IED in Iraq was made by Iranians that brought it there and trained Iraqis and other insurgents to use it. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I haven't really been part of that world too much. Could we sit down and talk and maybe over some green tea after we do some yoga?
No, look, why don't we just talk? We'll go get a beer or a Pepsi. Yeah, not diet. And we'll just sit down and I'll lay it out for you. Do you want me to show you some pictures too?
No, no, please. Don't interrupt my life with reality, damn it.
Yeah, so it's that kind of shit, right? So, yeah, so what do we get? If they want a confrontation, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday. He's a famous person. You'd know him if I said his name, but I'm not going to say his name. And I said, are we going to have a war between Iran and Israel? He said, no. I said, why? It looks like they're dancing. He said, oh, the Iranians will dance with them, right, from afar. But when the Israelis say, let's get on the dance floor and rip this shit up, the Iranians will quietly say, no, thank you. And they will retreat. And then they will continue their war by proxy, blah, 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 because they know what would happen. The Israelis would lay waste to them. And the Americans wouldn't be far behind. I said, oh. He said, that's my take anyway. So, and he's a smart guy. Well connected, well informed. Very well connected. Very well informed. So anyway, so what do we have to lose? By calling him out and calling a spade a spade. And again, the thing that bothers me most about the Iran deal, it was never submitted to Congress to ratify as a treaty. Right? As an agreement. And that's not the way the government works. We have three branches. The executive branch, he enters into the agreement. He submits it to the oversight branch. That would be our legislative bodies, for all you people that haven't been to civics in a while. Right? That's how this shit works. But he didn't do that. First, just so everybody knows, the Pinocchio voice is a big hit this morning, okay?
Yes! We can do it, everybody! Don't listen to these bad people! They only see the worst! They think that guy in Korea only has bad. He had a mom! He's a nice human being! He wants the best!
Yeah, he does. You know what else I thought about today? Otto Warmbier's parents. So they're watching these three guys got on a plane. Their son, a year ago, was shipped back in a coma. Died, less than 24 hours? 24 to 48 hours after his body got back to the United States. Yeah, their son didn't get the chance that these three guys are going to get. So don't forget them today, right? And it's like we want to do this dance. So if the Iranians want a confrontation, then let's do it. Let's do it. And just like I said, the United States Navy fucking around with the Iranian Navy in the Persian Gulf, why? Those patrol boats, essentially flying an attack heading at a United States warship. And then turning at the last minute. You don't need to put up with that shit. And then at one point, one of them doesn't turn, plows into your ship, and detonates, how many bombs they could get into that thing? And kills how many sailors? That's what has to happen before some goddamn Navy captain does their job and protects their crew? So, I don't think President Trump negating that deal is anything but a recognition of what Iran is. And what is Iran? The single most destabilizing influence in the Middle East today. They should be identified as such. And let me tell you, what are the Europeans pissed about? Does Germany give a shit that Iran will get a nuclear weapon? No. Why not, Mac?
Why, Mac? The German people were lederhosen. They're wonderful people.
Yeah, they are. But they don't give a shit. They've disarmed their country. What are they pissed about? Because EU companies do $400 billion of business now with Iran.
Oh, my God. You can't just bring this down to money.
Yeah, pumpkin, it is about money. Okay? It is about money. And that's why Angela Merkel, is that her name? Angela Merkel or Andrea? I can never get her straight. A. Merkel, right, who is the leader of defanged freeloading Germany in NATO, right, whose military is so on their ass that Putin doesn't even fear, like, Germany. Whatever. All right? And they can't even be shamed into standing up a decent military. It's a joke. Germany's a joke. So what is Germany worried about? That Iran has a nuclear weapon? No, they're not. They're worried about German companies are going to be impacted. German exports are going to be impacted. German business with Iran is going to be impacted. The same with France. Macron. Yeah, and I like that he brought the tree over from Bellywood. Don't get me wrong. That was a smooth move. And I'm a big Macron fan because of it. However, what is he protecting? He's protecting French investment in Iran. Hello? Okay, we got it. But Iran is what Iran is. To quote Dennis Green, they are who we thought they were. I need to get that audio. Yeah, when he lost his mind that time at a press conference. And so, call him out. And let's deal with him. And if you want to play hardball, we'll play hardball with you. We're not afraid of you. Just so you know, we're not afraid of you. We would blow the Iranians. First of all, the Iranians don't have soul, okay? The only reason North Korea is able to do what it does is because of the carnage that would happen in South Korea's largest city because of its proximity to the DMZ. If South Korea would have been smarter in the 50s, they would have named a new capital, right? Germany did it, Bonn. I don't know why they did it, but they did it. But the Germans did it. Okay, so instead of Washington, D.C., let's make it something near, let's make it Louisville. Louisville, Kentucky. That's right. First of all, we'll inject some culture into all that inbred craziness in the Midwest. Second of all, nobody can touch us. We're in the heartland. We're in the heartland. We could upgrade it and go to St. Louis. Louisville is a little bit hillbilly. So we could go to St. Louis. Okay? So we go to St. Louis. Who can touch us? Nobody touches us. Can't touch us. MC Hammer. Yeah. So now, are we good? We're good. Okay? So if South Korea would have done that, and they would have been out of the range of any kind of conventional, then they would have no bargaining chip. Yeah, shoot all the rockets you want. Okay? Our major cities are south of what you can range. But that ain't the way it is in Korea. But guess what? Iran doesn't have that card to play. You want to get it on with us? We see everything you do, bro. Everything you do. Your aircraft won't get on the off the ground at Bandar Abbas in Chabahar. Yeah, ask me how I know those airfields. Can't tell you. So anyway, yeah. And just call them for what they are. Again, Barack Obama will go down as one of the weakest presidents in American history. He failed in the South China Sea. He failed in Iraq, Syria. He failed in Afghanistan. This agreement is a failing, weak agreement. He failed in North Korea. All of his shit on the border, all undone by executive orders. Bing, 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 bing. Weak. Weak, weak, weak. And you can't be weak. If you're gonna be a powerful nation, you gotta be a mighty nation. If you're gonna be a mighty nation, you gotta be strong. Peace through strength. And you gotta have strong alliances. Right? Gotta have strong alliances. That's what we should be lobbying for. Mike Pompeo, get to Japan and say, yo, we need you to ramp it up. Okay? You don't need to go looking for war like you did 100 years ago. All right? And we think you're smarter than that. But you need to be able to preserve the peace. You need to be a part of us standing up to the Chinwa and telling them, hey, the South China Sea, that belongs to everybody. You don't own that shit. So anyhow, and then same thing with the Germans, the freeloading Germans. Okay. Okay, so look, stand up your military. No goose-stepping, okay, because we're not parades. You guys make us nervous when you have the big parades. No torches at night, for crying out loud. None of that shit, okay? Stand up a strong military. Don't be afraid. And your tanks, we're all about the tanks, too. You guys are good at tanks. Get that tank shit going again, okay? Okay, the Wagner music, you'll have to do that on the down low. Don't let anybody with a cell phone near any of that shit when you're playing the Wagner music. Because that'll make people nervous. But we need you to be strong to preserve the peace so we don't have to fight with these ass clowns all the time. All right. So we're only about 48 minutes into 50 minutes in the program. Why don't we start it? The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Good morning.
Good morning to you, everybody.
This is dedicated to the to the hummingbird people, God bless you. Just know that being a pacifist nation, like Germany is, like Japan has been, only works when somebody else guarantees your freedom. So, what did Jack Nicholson say? I would rather you just thank me. Or pick up a rifle and man the post. Otherwise, I am not interested in what you have to say. Yeah, you might hear that today. All right, this is dedicated to the hummingbird people. God bless you and the head-up-your-ass world that you live in. Oh, by the way, these are the son of a bitches that guarantee
your right to be a hummingbird. Downward dog, everybody. Breathe into the center and breathe out your nose. Let's go.
Yeah. These badasses, they've guaranteed your privilege to be stupid.
Country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination. Because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Of course, everyone knows that the most intelligent, handsome people on the earth are infantry officers.
As this would convey.
Exhibit A and B.
That's right.
If you missed that little nugget yesterday, that was hilarious. Yeah, that was John Allen and John Neller talking about simple fact. The most handsome men on the planet are infantry officers. That's right. Manly men that do manly things. We'll check the weather. I'm gonna have to check the news at the end of General Neal's presentation this morning. Sunny in 63 in Quantico with a weather alert. Yeah, it's either pollen or small crap. Not sure, but when there's only one, does not even merit my attention. that. When you see multiple, then I will personally get involved. Camp Lejeune, clouds in 66, Granbury, Texas. Yankees over the Red Sox last night. Just a programming note. Mostly sunny in 76 right now. Big Timber, Montana, raining and 55 in Montana. 29 Palms, sunny in 78. That means they're headed for the 90s. Pendleton, clouds in 60s. They're headed for the 70s or 80s. Okinawa, dark, cloudy, 73. Marja, 91 degrees in the land of the poppy in Afghanistan. The home of All Marine Radio, 61 degrees under cloudy skies. Looking for a high of 72 degrees today with a few clouds. For mañana, that's tomorrow, for those of you not listening in SAP. Okay, that is 72 degrees under sunny skies on Thursday. Friday, partly cloudy and 68. That means there'll be two clouds between Fresno and San Diego. That's how we do it out here. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear our today's battle study. Butch Neal, general type, United States Marine Corps, retired. And, Mac, play that shit again. All right, here you have it. This is Neller and Allen yesterday.
Of course, everyone knows that the most intelligent, handsome people on the earth are infantry officers.
As this would convey.
Exhibit A and B.
That's right.
There you have it. Doing a little comedy. Yeah, John Allen interviewing the Commandant, Bob Neller. Neller, funny guy. Allen, not so funny. He's a pretty serious guy. But he's fun. You can have fun with him. All right, so we'll take a break. We'll come back. You'll hear General Neal talking about Vietnam and at a fight in which, for those of you familiar with the story of Lieutenant John Bobo, he was he's killed in the fight. He becomes a recipient of the Congressional Medal of Honor for his action during the fight, and then four other Navy crosses are awarded during the fight. So you don't hear that very often, but. So you'll hear General Neal. So don't touch that dial. An interesting morning here on All Marine Radio. More of it coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Mac, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.